Broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Atlanta, Georgia, it's time for High Velocity Radio.
Welcome to the High Velocity Radio Show, where we celebrate top performers producing better results in less time. Stone Payton, Lee Cantor here with you this afternoon. How you doing, buddy?
I am doing great. I've been, once I saw this on the calendar, I've been excited about it ever since that day.
Well, me as well, as also my wife, who is a consultant by trade and is very familiar with this gentleman's work, as are quite a few in her arena. Please join me in welcoming back to the studio the chairman of ROI Institute, no stranger to the Business Radio X microphone, Dr. Jack Phillips. How are you, man?
Hey, I'm doing great. So good to be here again. You guys are super. You make it work so well.
So any news at the ROI Institute? Anything happening over there?
Quite busy. We work primarily outside the USA. So we work in 66 countries. I just got in from Toronto. And before that, the week before, I was in the Philippines and moving around lots of countries, about 50 weeks out of the year outside of the USA, 30 different countries.
So I got some Canadian culture last night.
Did you?
Yeah. Bare Naked Ladies came to town. We went to that concert and they were fantastic.
Oh, yeah. It's a good band.
Yeah.
They are the theme song for The Big Bang Theory.
That's right. Yeah. Did they play that?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. It was fun.
It's a good group.
So now you're not here exactly to talk about the ROI Institute. You're here to talk about an upcoming business writers conference you're putting on.
Yes, they're connected because we have built our business around the books that we've written. Mm-hmm. We have expertise. We write it in many different ways. The book is the best way in documenting case studies. And so we built our business around books. To date, we've written about 130 books, some good sellers and not so good sellers and all kinds in between. And so we know how to do it, and we keep learning and have learned a lot about the process. But for years, we've looked for conferences to go to that would be of interest to business writers. Mm-hmm. They're fiction writers.
Mystery. There's a lot of fiction and mystery and poetry, romance, yeah. Right? There seems to be a conference every month somewhere talking about that topic.
It is. And so nothing for the business writer. So we decided we'd just organize the conference ourselves.
Now, when you're a business writer and you're attacking your first book, is there some do's and don'ts or is there kind of a thought process you should go through?
Oh, yeah. Here's the facts. According to New York Times newspaper, about 81% of professionals would like to write a book. So there's a lot of interest in writing books. And Business Week is reporting about 12,000 business books are published. But this same article says that the vast majority of them are miserable failures. So we got a lot of problems here. You see, if you cannot get a publisher to publish your work these days, you go get a self-publisher. And so you pay someone to publish your book. And that's has accounted for just a tremendous growth in the books. However, the quality suffers sometimes.
Right.
What our approach is to try to get the publisher to give you a contract and let a publisher write the book and assume the financial investment for that. It's also good if you have a good reputable publisher, it helps you in what you're trying to do. And obviously the royalties you get can be extra income as well. So a lot of do's and don'ts, and we'll get into those, I'm sure, here. But the point we want to do is to help writers on a first-time basis avoid the failures. Get the contract, get the idea developed quite well, write the book in an engaging way, promote it, sell it, and build a business around it.
Now, you mentioned that, I think you said 81% of business professionals would like to write a book. And there's a lot of people that want to be writers, but the actual writing part gets in the way of that. That seems like work for a lot of people, and they get overwhelmed.
I would counter that 100% would like to have written a book.
Right. Right. Yes. Not write it, but have it written. And that's why some use ghostwriters to do that part. Yes. See, it's kind of daunting sometimes looking at a blank page and saying, you know, how do I go from here to 250 pages? But in reality, everyone has so many great experiences and knowledge and know-how. and just trying to get it into the right idea first for a publisher to be interested, and then writing it in a systematic, methodical way, having a writing system to make it work, and a lot of support along the way, a lot of tools along the way, you can get there. And so we, in this conference, we have not only best-selling authors talking about how they write the books, why they write their books, and how do they use their books, but also some of the tools of the trade, some of the agents, the publicists, editors, manuscript doctors, publishers themselves are telling us what they need, what they want. So we're trying to take a lot of the mystery out of this in this particular conference.
So now a person attending this conference, the perfect person would be someone who has never written a book and is considering it, and they can go to this conference and they can kind of learn the good, the bad, the ugly about the whole process, and then maybe end up with some resources that'll help them publish that first book.
Exactly. That's the first time author is our principal audience. Now we'll have some there who've written a book, but trying to get the spark for the next book and want to mix and mingle with some others in that process. So if you think about the audience, we want to go after business professionals. They have accumulated some experience. They got something that's worked well for them. They want to share it with others. Second, I think, is the baby boomers who are, many have retired early and they've got a lot of knowledge and they're just trying to funnel that in some way. And hopefully we'll get to them with this.
So I wonder, is there a place in this arena for the good facilitator to help someone get the what's inside of them out onto the paper? And or is that really a lot of what this process that you're sharing does for folks? Because that's often the barrier, right? Really smart, passionate people who may be very good at their craft still struggle with getting it out on paper and in the right format. Is there a place for a professional to facilitate that process?
Yes. They're often called writing coaches. And so there'll be a writing coach at this conference, for example, describing what they do. Sometimes you have writing mentors or writing buddy. Sometimes you have freelance editors who can help with parts of it. You can have a significant other who's also putting pressure and expectations on you. So you really need to keep moving along the line so that it will get done by the scheduled time. And that's the key. So yes, there's a lot of ways, a lot of tools, a lot of processes to go through. We'll show them how, starting with how do you develop your idea and how do you understand the market for that idea? And then how do you put together a proposal that's going to attract some attention?
So now if I go through this conference and I have, you know, I worked in an industry for a period of time, and like you said, maybe I'm retired or maybe I was laid off, and now I'm thinking about becoming a consultant back in that industry. You know, my credential that I have right now is that I used to work in the industry, but you're saying from a marketing standpoint, there's some benefit of actually getting a book published that kind of positions me as an expert that'll help me in my consultancy?
Yes, it becomes a great calling card. It describes what you're offering as you're consulting. You're explaining the services that you deliver, but in a way that's really a book that someone can just pick up and read. Now, the danger is that they read your book and don't hire you to be a consultant. But normally they want more. They want it from the person who really knows how to do it. So it's a great calling card these days. It's almost an absolute must for a good consultant these days to have something like that.
So now are you going to be, or is this person who, like say, maybe they worked in manufacturing, and are they going to, by the end of the conference, are they going to kind of have this fleshed out a little more, or is this, they're just getting kind of general knowledge about the book writing process?
Yeah, so we have some pre- and post-conference workshops that really get into a lot of nitty-gritty. There's a pre-conference workshop that's called the Writer's Boot Camp. Now, there we actually leave that three-day pre-conference workshop with a book proposal.
Oh, wow.
Okay, so this is, like, if you're considering this, this is something you should really invest in, because this at the end of the day, you're going to have something in your hand that is going to get you on the path to getting the book done.
Yes. Yeah, so during that 3 days, we'd fine tune your idea, get it right down to a precise title and subtitle, identify the publisher, write the query letter that goes with the proposal, write the proposal, which would be about 8, 10, 12 pages. So it's ready to go. You can hit the send button when you leave that workshop.
And that's a little different than in nonfiction than fiction. in nonfiction, you don't have to write the book first, right? You can create this proposal, and then when you get a publisher, then you write the book, as opposed to in fiction, they want you to complete the whole work,
right,
and then they decide whether they publish it or not.
That's right. Some publishers will require you to write one chapter just to see how well you can write and
right,
the flow and so forth, but some don't do that. So yes, a good proposal gets a hook these days. And also, you won't be successful with the book unless you market yourself. And there's a misunderstanding that you may have a major publisher supporting you, and you think they will do all the marketing, but not so. The best sellers that are out there that have been developed over the years are from relentless author promotion. So we teach you how to do that. We have some sessions around that, how to market your book and help make it a bestseller.
And when you're working with a publisher, I would think that would help hold you to that timeline. There's an extra degree of accountability and structure to the whole process, as opposed to I'm going to, you know, self-publish a book. So that's probably one key advantage, isn't it, in your approach?
Yeah, right. You've got a deadline that's really important deadline, because they plan all of their marketing and production for the book and marketing afterwards around that timeline. And they often have their own internal editor lined up to ready to edit the manuscript. So when you miss that, that's not a good thing. So you want to try to be on time. And so there's the pressure. You put that out far enough in advance, maybe 6 months, maybe a year, but you got to deliver it. But in between, you're going to use some tools, a coach, mentors, friends, colleagues, editors, resource people to help you as you need them. And that's all explained quite well in this conference and the pre and post workshops.
So I feel like just out there in social media land, and we get inundated with a lot being in the radio world, I feel like there are some small marketing companies that are trying to cater to that self-publishing aspirational writer, and they, you know, like, hey, we'll put together a marketing package kind of thing for you. But I got to say, I don't think I've ever come across like a real business writers conference with this kind of substance attached to it. Why is this the first one?
We're not sure. We kept waiting for it. It's a good market. It's one of the biggest markets in the publishing business outside of the fiction market. So if you look at the whole nonfiction area, the biggest genre is business. Mm-hmm. With 12,000 books published each year, that's a huge market.
Yeah.
And it's going to people who, where price is not so much an issue. I mean, the publishers can charge a good price for the book. And so I don't know why we haven't had the special conference for this. We kept thinking someone would. We'd go to conferences where they'd have some nonfiction, which would be mostly travel writing or memoirs and so forth, but not this. And so we just said, okay, we got to do it. We got to help some people with this. And so we have the conference now, and we'll do this each year.
Now, in your career, you were able to kind of partner with some associations, right? Or the help you get the books at least published, or at least get out there to the niche that you serve?
Yes. And that's a good publishing outlet, the professional association. So an individual who's a member of one of these associations, they often have a publishing arm. For example, we published with McGraw-Hill and John Wiley and Amacom and some of the other big publishers. A large segment of our published books come from associations like the Association for Talent Development, the Society for Human Resource Management, the International Public Manager Association, the Meetings Professional International. So those associations publish books and materials for their audience. Another one is the Project Management Institute. So, yes, they're a great outlet because they want to get good material, good content in front of their members and help their members. And this is a good way to go about it.
Now, how do you persuade them to choose you to be the author of the book that serves their membership? Because there's lots of people that are involved with those associations.
Yes. Well, here's where the compelling book proposal comes in. You have to research what's been done already, and you must have something a little different. A little different niche, and you present it very clearly what you want to do and how you will make it work and how you will promote it. You want to make the case that, yes, this book is needed And yes, nothing else is out there like this exactly. And yes, I'm the person to do it. And so you've got to really get that proposal done properly. And this is why we spent so much time in those 3 days working on that.
So in the proposal, you're kind of teaching them how to answer those questions before they're asked?
Yes. Yes, like defining the need for it and who's in the audience and what competitors are out there already for this and how does your book stack up with those competitors? How you will actually flow the information and the chapters and the structure around the book. And these days, the most important part is your own marketing plan. What will you do to promote it? And if you don't have a platform, as they call it, you won't get the contract. You've got to have a platform to promote the book. And that usually means you're a consultant, you speak at conferences, you've got some kind of following going on already. You plan to do workshops around this. You know, you got to have something.
So you kind of have to illustrate a marketing plan going forward once you have the book published that you're going to be able to execute so that shows them, look, once this book's published, I'm going to go every month. I'm going to these different places. I'm going to be doing a workshop using the book as a tool within it. So then that'll require them to buy the book or there's some sort of a marketing plan built around the book.
Exactly. A marketing plan is actually in your proposal. And then as you develop the book, the publisher will come back to you with more detail and you put more detail around the plan and they fully expect you to execute the plan. There are some things that they will do. Obviously, they'll do promotion and they'll advertise the books and their regular channels, but you've got to really drive it with your work.
Right. It's not, I think some people think that, oh, I wrote the book and now the publisher is going to go out and then I just sit back and, you know, the publisher is going to go out and get me on the Today Show to talk about it.
Right. Won't work.
That's not how it happens, is it?
Doesn't work. If it ever did.
Unless you're like John Grisham or Stephen King, maybe.
Or I doubt their first one worked that way. Right. Are your wheels clicking at all like mine are? Because we have a platform, right? So like, let's say, and I know each of us have, we've done a self-published book and we had modest, I got a royalty check for 25 cents for last quarter. Okay. So we, no financial success on it, but it did add enough credibility. It helped me get some speaking work. But let's say you and I wanted to get serious and like really do it the right way. One of the things we would want to leverage is the fact that we have this platform, right? That would,
yes.
That might be meaningful and that we should include that in our platform.
Yes.
And we could probably even cheat a little bit in that some of where we could get content, depending on the book we wrote, is from our interviews, right? It could be a book about smart people. And we could, you know, we could use the words from like the Jack Phillipses that come through here.
Yeah. That's perfect. That platform is so critical. Something you're doing routinely, you got an audience, you got followers. In fact, one of the books I just picked up on the way over here at Barnes & Noble was How Do You Develop Your Platform for Your Book? Which is interesting because the first thing a publisher would ask you if you don't cover it quite well is, so what's your platform? And we've seen some good books decline because the author didn't have a platform to make it work.
So they might have had the right idea, but they didn't have a platform that they... Because the publisher wants to make some money on this. They're not just doing this for... you know, fun.
Right. And it's the publishers who tell us that most of those business books that they publish are failures. But failures meaning they don't reach their potential if they should. And a lot of it is failure to be properly marketed. There's some other reasons in there of getting the book done on time and the quality of the book itself, staying true to your audience that you wanted to and the content you wanted to, but not doing it.
And being a regular speaker, a well-known speaker, and that's a platform, right? If you speak regularly, that's a platform. So I want to talk a little bit about what most of us in this room know to be the secret sauce of this whole operation. She is busy on her own platform right now at another conference as we speak. But talk a little bit about the way you and Patty approach business together. I think our listeners would find that a very interesting.
Well, we actually complement each other. We both are passionate about writing. So she writes books, I write books, we write books together. Usually all of our books have both of our names, so one of us will take the lead on each one of the books. She's speaking at the American Society of Safety Engineers as we speak. Around one of our books, it's called Measuring the ROI on Environments, Health, and Safety. So that book got her the speaking engagement. And that speaking engagement will drive some consulting and some workshops in that process, and that's how it works. So we speak, each of us speak at probably a 50 to 70 conferences a year.
Wow.
Somewhere.
Wow.
But it drives our business, and that's what we want. When we speak, we talk about our books. We're speaking about our books. We often have a display copy. Yesterday, I came through Minnesota on my way from Toronto, and I spoke at the Mayo Clinic there in Rochester, Minnesota yesterday. And my work there was measuring ROI in healthcare. And I spoke to the Healthy Living group there. But as I spoke to the group, I had probably a dozen of the other books that are related on the display table. We used the book here as a handout, the Measuring ROI in Healthcare from McGraw-Hill, but we have our other books out there. So before I left, they talked about how can we become more engaged and work with you. It just drives the business. And this is, it's nothing magic about this. It's just logical processes that anyone can do, I think.
Well, it brings something to mind for me in that you're a well-known expert, both of you, in ROI. And just, it's not like you wrote a book about ROI and then you were done. You, having that expertise, then you applied it to healthcare. You applied it to all these different arenas, and that's another page out of your playbook that we all ought to at least take seriously entertain, right?
Right. You got another market, it means another book. You've got a different functional area, another book. If you've got a little different twist you want to cover, a lighthearted look, it's a thinner book. You want to get into extreme detail, it's a reference book. Or you want to show a lot of examples, it's a case book. So you develop a lot of books around wherever you're going, whatever you're doing.
So when you're doing that, is the publisher, like when you just said, hey, I want to get into healthcare and I want to take the ROI platform that I've already been leveraging and I want to do it in healthcare, do you approach the publisher and say, hey, I want to do this with you? Or are they coming to you and saying, hey, you should do this in healthcare?
Well, most of our books, we take the idea to them. Now, occasionally we'll have the publisher come to us and say, this book is needed and we think you should do it. That's a real plus when you get that. But we go pitch the process. For example, in the healthcare book, we pitched it to McGraw-Hill. They'd already produced several of our ROI books in other fields, like in leadership, for example, in consulting. So we said, look, there's a big market for it, very compelling proposal. They didn't hesitate. They gave us the contract. And well, we probably 30% of our business is in healthcare, driven by this book. So it's just huge in terms of what it can do for you. And I should say this, back to Patty, what we do, and it's very complementary to our process, is we consult, we teach, we write, we speak, and we do research. And those five things are all complementary. But the real business development part of that is the book that we must have, and we recommend others do the same.
And you don't just go in and say, hey, I'm Jack Phillips, so let's do another book. You still have to invest or choose to invest the time and energy to build that compelling case, lay out that. You follow the methodology, the structure, the rigor every time.
Yes. Yes, and we get rejected from our publisher. They said, no, this is, you can do better than this, or this is not you, or I think there's something already there. And so it keeps us on our toes. We just go in with a good proposal as if we've never done this before, or, you know, we got a lot riding on this. And so we want to make sure we do it properly.
Now, can you share a little bit about the, maybe some of the business side to writing the book? You mentioned that if I'm a brand new writer, the financial side of this, I'll probably make the most money in the consulting part of it, not the royalties from the book, right?
Right. Yeah. I wouldn't look at book royalties. If I'm driving this for my business, the value is the business. I wouldn't look at royalties as being an important part of this. They will. And depending on the book, you know, you can have some good royalties. I'll give you an example. We've got one that's just went into its fourth edition. It was our first book we wrote 33 years ago, 1983. Now, that book has got an interesting title. It's an exciting title of Handbook of Training, Evaluation, and Measurement Methods.
It was a page turner.
I'm telling you, it's a thriller. So that book, it just keeps selling and selling. And so we've got probably 150, 200,000 copies. Royalties for that book would be about $4 to $6 a copy. So, you know, that adds up over time, but that's over a long period. We want that to pay for our full-time editor that we have working with us and some support team that she has around her, like freelance editors. Mm-hmm. So we look at that as royalties support our writing effort. The writing effort drives the business. Now, as another option, some people will say, I'm going to write a bestseller and live off of that for a while and write another bestseller and live off of that. And that's another way. We didn't go that way. We write books that drive our business. And with so many books, you can imagine we begin to cannibalize some of the books we have. When you buy this one, they don't buy that one. And so we'll look at all those different ways to think about your book. You know, how do you want to position a book? What's it going to do? Are you building a business around the book? Or is every new book you write going to be different business? And that's a difficult part for some. And so we'll sort through those things in the conference.
So I'm looking at a picture of Patty here in the Business Writers Conference brochure, and I can say without reservation, you definitely outpunted your coverage there.
Yes.
But beyond Patty, sounds like you have a professional team, and in your case, you actually have a professional editor on your team, and maybe that's not a practical investment for all of us, but we need to have a professional editor on our team for the book that we're doing, yes?
Yes. Now, yes, we write so many books, 6 to 8 books a year, and so we need a full-time editor. This person helps us so much, and not only just editing the book, but working with the publisher and getting things done, the details that they need. So, no, I wouldn't start off with that. Those services provided by the publisher for the most part. That is, they will edit the book. Now, if you have problem getting it in the right frame, right way, looking as good as it needs to be, flowing as smoothly as it should be, there are freelance editors who can work with you on an hourly rate, not that expensive. It can help you through this. We're just at the point where we do so many that we have to have a full-time team.
Well, that was helpful. I didn't realize it again, because all I ever did was self-publish the one. So the editor, the publisher, when you're going with like the real deal, that they provide that editing support.
That's right.
I can tell you this, though, even in my experience, that I would sit there and I would read, the page would read exactly the way I wanted it to read, whether I actually had put those words on the page or not. You know, you do need, got to have other eyes looking at it, right?
Gotta have it. that's an important part of what we do. And there's so many people can just take something and make it look so good, sound so good, flow so smoothly. And say, my God, that's a lot better. And that's what you want. You want someone who can do that. Now, the publisher does that to a certain extent, but you might want to engage a freelance writer. There's even this concept called developmental editor. That is, someone has the great ideas, but they really struggle getting it. And it's not just editing, it's helping write it. And so you've got people who can do that for you. So there's all kind of resources, and we'll probably be covering all of those quite well at the conference there.
Now, for a first-time author, is there a number of copies sold that you want to shoot for? Is there a number that is, you know, reasonable? Like, what is it 100,000? Is it 1,000? Like, how do you even know what the, you know, market will bear with a first-time author first book?
Okay. Now, first, a publisher will print what they call the first print run, and that's how many they print to begin with. And that's usually somewhere between 3,000 and 5,000 copies, depending on what they think will happen to the book. The publisher wants to get within the year, ideally, that print run sold, 3,000 to 5,000. That's not many books. You won't get them excited about that. They really want something that they think is good market for 25,000, 30,000, maybe 50,000 copies. Now, there's an occasional bestseller. Those are not normal, not regular, but, you know, they push it on up into through 300,000. You know, some hit, you can hit to million copies. When you get to that level, you really have got lots of income coming in from the book. And it's possible to get there. And we'll be dissecting a lot of those bestsellers and looking what makes them work. And we got a lot of those best-selling authors in the conference. I mean, we have some million sellers speaking at the conference. Our lead opening keynote is going to stay for the whole conference. And we keep this conference so small. It's only 100 people max, and we're about 37 people short of that goal, and we won't let it go over 100.
So it's going to be very intimate. They're going to be able to really interact with the speakers and learn, you know, kind of ask them the questions they want answered, right?
Well, yes. Look at some of these keynotes. Well, like one that caught my eye, storytelling your way to success, successful indie publishing, what got you here will get you there, authorship as a team sport. I mean, they're covering every aspect of it, how books drive our business, what publishers want, making money with your message. And then you've got these breakouts. I mean, this is chock full of really solid.
Right, you're totally immersing yourself in this world, and by the end of this, your head's probably going to explode with all the information, right?
Yes, we're going to give you a clear path to go from here to there, wherever there is for you, yes. And I would say this, you know, a lot of people say, well, I'm thinking about leaving my corporate world maybe a year from now, so I'll think about this later. Oh, no, now's the time to do that.
It's better to think about it now and get this work done so that when you do leave, you already have this in your pocket, right?
Right. If you decided today to write a book, at best, you're 6 months getting it done, sometimes sooner. And then you're going where the publisher is going to take 6 months to a year, depending on the publisher. So you're looking at something that won't be on the shelves for another year and a half, maybe. So now's the time to start if you're even thinking about this. Is to get your book out there. That becomes your calling card, the beginning of your business.
Well, this whole experience is like under $2,000. I mean, if you gold card this thing all the way through and, you know, book massages, I think you're at $2,500 or less, right?
Yes.
I mean, I don't know how you pulled that off, but wow.
Well, again, this is a passion for us. And Patty and I, we do the opening and closing, but otherwise we're going to be attending and listening and participating.
You might learn something.
Oh, yeah. We plan to. And this is, we're going to do this every year, and we want to always be in those sessions listening to some of these great people tackle these interesting topics.
Now, you mentioned that getting a publisher and writing this query letter is important. Is having an agent important, or is that a must-have or a nice-to-have?
It is. It's a debatable issue. We've got a great editor there, literary editor speaking, and he's one of the best. And he's talking about the pros and the cons. Obviously, the disadvantage is you got to pay him or her out of your royalties.
Right.
But the plus is that they really make the right connections. They sometimes make the difference in getting the book, and they can steer you in some of the key issues. So it's probably worth it. Particularly for a first-time author. The bad news is that most of the good agents won't go with a first-time author.
It's like a catch-22, right?
That they don't know or haven't been recommended. So they try to be very selective because they don't want to hook up to a loser, you can imagine. And a first-time author to them is unknown, obviously. So it's possible, and there'll be some discussion around that at the conference as well.
So do you mind if we switch gears for a moment? We'll swing back around and make sure that our listeners have all the key information for this, because I definitely want them to be able to access this information and become part of this conference if at all possible. But just before we went on air, you shared a book with me called Maximizing the Value of Consulting. And consulting is so central to your entire approach, value proposition, just to the way you're out serving the planet. Do you mind speaking to a little bit how and why this particular book came about and why now? Because this is like in the last year or so that you put this out, right?
Right. We've got several books in consulting, but we decided to put like a Bible together. And this book, the focus is on value. That's why we call it The Value of Consulting. It's helping consultants make sure that they connect to the project properly in the beginning and that the consulting project's actually driving some business issue. And making sure that what they're doing as a consultant is really what's needed. It's not what's good for the consultant, but what's good for the client. And that deliver that in a very efficient way, keeping the cost as low as possible, but also show the value to the client that you've delivered all the way to the financial ROI. So it's a great way to drive your consulting business. by making sure you're driving the right, addressing the right problem to begin with, but delivering the positive financial ROI at the end. So that book is about how do you do it, and step by step, right on through the process. And we are building a business around that. We're partnering with the Association of Internal Management Consultants. The executive director of that organization is our co-author. And we're rolling out in this fall a certified performance consultant. And so we'll, for 4 days, we'll teach people how to do this. And they'll actually complete a consulting project, showing the value of that project, turn it in to become a certified ROI, a certified performance consultant. So we build businesses around books, you can see.
Yeah.
It's very connected to what we do. We're all consultants ourselves, but now we're teaching consultants how to be a consultant.
Well, and you're eating your own cooking. Everything you just described to me is exactly what you told us, what you're going to be teaching at this conference and about your methodology, your approach for helping would-be authors.
Exactly.
Yeah, well, that's encouraging. So what's the word I'm looking for? Integrity? Alignment?
Yes.
honor? I don't know value.
It works, too.
Yeah, doing good work is a good calling card.
Yeah, it's a good sales tool, too, right?
Yes. Yeah, see, here's some interesting things going on in publishing. It's got some of the big publishers really confused on what to do. The revenue for books peaked out in 2007. So the revenue has been going down. Now it's leveled off and started back up. At the same time, the number of books went up. And for two reasons. One is e-books were published, which is very low revenue for the publisher. And then the self-publishing doesn't show up usually in the publishing stats because you pay someone to print the book and it doesn't show up in publishing revenues. Now, two things are happening here. One is in 2014, the e-book sales turned around and it's going to, instead of going up, it's going down. That's a, you see, it was dramatic, sharp increase, and now it's gone the other way. So something happened, and we know what happened from the industry that's causing people to say, I don't want to read a book on a Kindle or on my iPhone. I can't imagine that. Or if they need it, and even the millennials, and doing some research with the publishers, they tell us the millennials who are the biggest advocates of electronic books, said, look, if it's a serious book, I want a hard copy.
Right.
I want to be able to look at it. I don't want some IT manager to make a mistake and my book is gone. And so that's encouraging in a way because we're all concerned that print books are going away, but that's not going to happen now. It's turned the other way. But second, it makes the big publishers undecided what to do because they were beginning to gear up for ultimate demise of the print books and the rise of the e-books. And so you've got that going on. Then you've got this proliferation of publishing, self-publishing. And some of it is getting to be quite good, very quality books. Some of it is, you know, if you write garbage, someone will publish it and they put it out there and it's garbage and not your book. I know it's going to be a bestseller.
Don't read it. Let's just keep it at that level.
You can double that royalty and you have 50 cents.
There you go. Well, I'll tell you just some empirical, is that the right word, evidence. My 23-year-old came down from Virginia yesterday to go to this family concert. And I'll be darned if she didn't pull out a real book. I was not anticipating that.
Yeah.
But she has a real job now and she's reading like real books.
Yeah.
And it wasn't a nonfiction. It had something to do with the
Well, my son's 18 and he prefers a real book. When I buy him a book, I buy him a real book, not an
e-book. Is that right?
That's good. I like to see that because I was really concerned that the books would go away and that would be a shame. Like the newspapers are going away in so many places. But that's a good news. And you've got those options. And all of our publishers these days do both. They publish this book that you see, Maximizing the Value of Consulting, is both electronic copy and hard copy.
So you're a both and kind of guy. Just hit both markets.
Yeah, you got to go there. but I would doubt you would want an electronic book that thick.
Right. Take up all your giga boogies on your thing, right?
That's right. Yeah.
Well, you and Patty, I mean, you obviously continue to have so much passion for your work. I mean, you don't have any near-term plans to slow down.
No.
What's next for you guys? You're going to dive deeper into helping folks?
In the writers area?
Yes. Well, we made that a decision, and you can see we've got a company we've created called Business Writers Exchange. So this company would offer several things. The conference will be there every year. We'll actually set up an exchange, a network for people to share ideas, share information, assistance along the way. We have some writer services. We have editors, developmental editors, even ghostwriters and others who can help write books. And we've got a couple of houses in North Georgia in the mountains that we want to have for writers' residence.
Oh, so, wow, very cool.
You could just go up and spend a month and be secluded there right on the Appalachian Trail almost. And so it's been, you know, in the bushes, in the woods, and you can get a lot of thinking going. And we check in with you as often as you like, you know, maybe every day or every 2 or 3 days. So we're building a variety of services to support writers. And so that's kind of, we're not leaving the RO Institute. It's doing quite well, and we continue to be our principal business that we run. But we wanted to get this thing going. We see a need for it. We are constantly asked by others, how do you write these books? I want to write a book. How do I go about it? And can you help me? And so we start helping people, and you can imagine that it spreads out to a lot of time. And so we said, look, this is a way for us to get it done. And our speakers reached out to their network and said they got the same problem, people wanting them to help them with books. So they're using this as a way to get them there to learn how.
So some of these speakers, I saw a few of them here highlighted. We don't necessarily have to go through all of them, but I mean, these are folks that are well-known in their arena as well. These are very credentialed, accomplished folks, aren't they?
Yes. I use Paul Smith first. He's got a bestseller book, a New York Times bestseller book on Lead with a Story. He's into stories, and he had an influence on me. The last few books we've written, now we start with a story each chapter and put a lot of stories in there. And so that brings it to life. We need that. Then I go down to Andy Savage. Now, Andy wrote a best-selling book called The Triple Bottom Line. It's about how companies should not only be concerned about profits, but people and the environment. Now, Patty and I were in the Smithsonian last fall, and their exhibits there, and the Enterprise exhibit in the Smithsonian's got an exhibit about his work.
Wow,
that's
cool.
He's just an icon, but he's still writing books, so he's there, and he's got his agent there. His agent is Carl Weber, right next to him. So those two are talking how they write a book together, and then separately, Carl's got an editing workshop. And Andy's participating in another panel about what does publishers want these days. So, and we have Anne. Anne is a writer's coach. She's helped develop a lot of bestsellers, coaching people as they go through the process. So she's not only doing a keynote, but she's also doing a workshop on Friday, post-conference workshop. So we have some interesting people here who've written books. Bill Rothwell, he's a Penn State department chair, but has written about 70 books, and mostly in the management area and maybe human resources area. So we want to hear how he goes about this, and how does he get so many books done, and how does he get so many done each year? So
this is a rock star cast. And I got to tell you, I feel a real connection with this Andy Savage guy. You know, he's in the Smithsonian. I have my initials carved in the original structure of the Floribama.
Yes.
So I know what that can be to have your name live on like that.
And that'll be forever.
Until the next hurricane, anyway.
You have a photograph of that.
I'll have it next time you come to the studio.
All right, that'd be great.
Now, what a group of folks. Before we go, let's make sure our listeners do have whatever coordinates you think are most helpful for them to have, both with regard to this conference, but also, I mean, the work you're doing is going to live well beyond this. So I just want to make sure our listeners know where to go.
Well, first, we'd like to say that any of your listeners go to this conference. We'd like to give them a 20% discount just for being a good, loyal listener to the Business X Radio. Now, you can go to the businesswritersexchange.com. That's business-writers-exchange.com. And it's got everything you need to sign up for the conference. It's got the brochure and some more details there. Business Writers Exchange. And so we'd just tell the registration person the form that you are entitled to a 20% discount, and someone will...
Just say it with some authority. So yes. I know Lee Cantor.
Yeah, that'll do it.
Jack said.
Lee and Stone says, hey, I'm getting this discount. So we'd love to do that. And so we really want to get some more people, particularly in the South. And that's where we're marketing primarily.
Yeah. Well, we're starting to run into some folks. Well, and we have for some time. Authors coming through. We need to make a priority of letting them know about this aspect of Jack's work. And in the very near term, we need to let them know about this conference.
That's right. And the conference is July 27th through the 29th. There's a pre-conference workshop from the 25th through the 27th and a post-conference workshop from the 29th to the 30th.
And again, the whole thing, I mean, it's less than Ryan would spend on wine over a weekend. I mean, this is not, I mean, this is a very reasonable investment in your professional development and your career.
Right. Or maybe a long night at the Flora Bound.
There you go.
Well, Jack, it has been an absolute pleasure having you back in the studio. Thanks so much, man.
My pleasure. Thank you for having me here.
All right. Until next time, this is Stone Payton for Lee Cantor, our producer, Ryan McPherson, our guest this afternoon, Dr. Jack Phillips, and everyone here at the Business Radio X family saying we'll see you in the fast lane.